Checking the numbers in Chicago as they finished up on a Friday afternoon. Futures like this in the wheat pit. March contract for the soft red up 2 cents at 7.58. That's a close, not a settlement price, as the rest of these are. May futures at 7.62, down a penny, and July at 7.62 and a half, down one, are meaning they're all closes and not settlement prices. The hard red at 8.19 and three quarters, down 8 3/4 in Kansas City. From the corn pit back in Chicago at the CME Group, 2 1/4 lower on its close at 7.08. And a half. The May at 7.08 and a half as well. It was down 3.5 cents. In July, futures at $7.25 a bushel, down a penny and a half. September, $5.86, down 3 1/4. December futures at 5.63 and a half, down 3. And the March corn at 5.73 and 3/4, down 3.5 cents for next year. The May at 5.81 and a half, down 3. March soybeans, 14.51, 35 3/4 of a cent lower. May futures, 14.42 and a half, down 30 3/4. In July, beans at 14.26, down 36 1/4. August soybeans, 13.88, down 43 1/2. And November's at $12.86 1/4, down 37 3/4. January futures at 12.87 1/4, down 40 3/4. Bean meal futures on the afternoon at 4.22.50, down $15.10. Bean oil at 51.45, down 40 cents. Live cattle futures in the April at $130, 12.5 cents, up $1.40, rather down $1.40. April feeders at $148.20, down 237.5, and lean hogs finished at $86.12.5, and the apes at 40 lower for the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. This is the 8th day of February 2013. It's USDA Report Day. On the phone line with us today, from Lafayette, Indiana, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, is Mike Zuzulo. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Can you go through the numbers USDA released that you thought were important out of the world agricultural and supply demand estimates today?
Well, the corn ending stocks for the United States at 6.32 was a bit above the average trade guess, but I think because of the price break we had seen earlier in the week, Todd, that was probably maybe built in already. At least like a 6.25 carryover probably is what was built in because of the 20-cent plus break we had seen going into today's report. U.S. bean carryover number, probably the one that got the most attention by the trade, 125 million bushels. Not bad on the lower end of the spectrum, but the exports were unchanged in between that and the Brazilian bean crop going up. I think that probably signaled to the trade that if you take those exports being unchanged at face value as a trade as a whole, you're probably sitting with the mindset that we're going to see a massive shift in origin in the next 30 to 45 days. U.S. wheat ending stocks, probably the most favorable number at face value, under 700 million bushels. That puts us about 50 million bushels less than last year at this time. And with the weather that we're dealing with, I think the trade probably respected that number. The trade was probably also expecting a bigger ending stocks number versus the January forecast, because of weaker demand on the export front. They did not get that, so a couple different reasons why maybe the wheat number was a little bit more positive than the corn or beans.
So the trade took the soybeans and they said, well, we're going to have fewer ending stocks, but oh, by the way, South America is not as bad as you think it is, at least if you combine both Brazil and Argentina.
Right.
In Chicago, they said, that probably means we'll be short of beans here, but that won't matter because all the export business will switch origin and head towards the south.
That's right, and I think this is where the meal chart in particular and the meal price in particular probably plays a much bigger role than we first think about when it comes to the relationship between meal and corn. And it was interesting because the March meal chart, after making a new two-month high earlier in the session, ended up going down to the 20, the 50, and the 200-day moving average in the March contract. All of those moving averages within $2 of one another, very odd occurrence whenever moving averages of that type and that spread get that close to one another. So I would call this technically a very big inflection point for the technicians out there. A very wide array of charts also say, because we're back to where we were at the beginning of the year and have lost traction and are essentially back to where we were on January 1 in many, many technical ways, this is also a point where it's a very big inflection point, meaning it's something where the technicians are going to become very, very concerned if these losses are added to. But clearly what you say is right. The market had been buying beans at the expense of corn and wheat. They made a major shift out of that after today's numbers.
Mm-hmm. Can you stay with the meal chart for just a second? Because it is a big outside down, and it's only a day, but it is a sharp down day in that lead option meal chart or the March contract. And it did, as you mentioned, break all of those moving averages and settled below the 20-day, just slightly, but about a dime below the 20-day moving average.
Yeah, and this is where the 200-day comes into play, because you look at a 200-day moving average, and if you were looking at other times when we have gone through the 200-day moving average, if you take out the first of the year, January 2nd to be precise, you have to go all the way back to the middle, later part of February of last year, and that's where when we were at a price of about $335 to $340 a ton. So we were about $80 a ton cheaper than we are right now. This is where, for the beans, for me, they have a lot more downside potential than the wheat and corn, because we have been talking about for 4 years straight, I think it's been, Todd, about an 80 million metric ton Brazilian bean crop. We've never gotten there because Mother Nature's never let us. It looks as though we're going to get it this time, and I just don't think we're ready to deal with that kind of number as a global market, and that's where it becomes an issue, where maybe beans are starting to tell us that they're going to become the leader to the downside. It's a big if, because what you talked about a minute ago about the origin shifting is a big if. Do you buy the USDA export number today or not? I say the trade probably will right now, but 10 days from now, if you don't see lower exports and cancellations reappear, you're probably going to have to revisit this, and you have the front end once again being a very strong leader to the upside again. So, like I said, these charts are depicting a fundamental inflection point.
If you are correct in your assumption that this signals a shift to the downside, or potentially does, I suppose.
Right.
And it would have the trade caught off guard substantially, because most, I think, have been looking for soybeans to lead the market higher.
I think that's 100% right, but that makes sense from a standpoint of what we've dealt with the last month and a half. The funds that are trading these markets are not the long-only funds. They're the managed money. They're shorter-term in nature, more technical in nature, trading more headline news. And so, yes, you have greater volatility and you have greater whipsaw price action and stronger short-term trends. But that's exactly my point in the medium term. I did a study of the last 5 years on a monthly close. Where can you expect Dease corn and Nov beans to get to? 9 out of 60 months, you could get November beans above $14. So when we were trading above $13.50, we were on the very long end of the curve. It takes a lot to get November beans above $14. Dease corn, however, when you're talking about $5.80 or $6, you can get that 19 or 20 months out of the last 5 years on a closing monthly basis. And so this is why I feel like if I don't hedge corn here and the beans lead the corn lower, I'm playing the odds and statistics better. Plus, I just quite frankly don't think there's as much downside between now and harvest in corn as there is in beans, because we've been trading this demand and this U.S. demand of beans and not the world numbers and not South America.
Okay, so you're not going to take any position or new position on new crop corn, right?
We lose the double bottom in wheat, that is absolutely right.
Okay, and then in soybeans, did USDA's report in the action today cause you to think about new crop sales there?
Well, I've been up to about 50% of insured bushels at this stage with clients and working towards 100% of insured bushels. With today's drop, I'm going to call the dogs off and wait to see if 1250, 1245 support holds. That's a number that's very key, because it takes a lot to get us below 1245 on a weekly close in November futures. If you see that, then you're probably going down to the 200-day moving average just under $12, and that's where it gets really, really tough to rebuild the chart and rebuild the sentiment. So below 1245, you bet I'll start hedging again.
USDA for the corn numbers, and I don't think this would have been a big surprise to anybody, dropped exports by 50 million to 900 million for the year for corn. But they held pretty steady with usage by livestock.
Yeah, exactly. And this was a favorable number in that respect. And also, like I said, the price action to the downside earlier in the week. The biggest potential sleeper in this market for corn, as far as if you're a bullish trader, is that the USDA acknowledges problems in Argentina, and we have to acknowledge those problems are ongoing because the weather hasn't cleared up down there. So you are really open, and you can talk about Brazilian corn going up, but that just doesn't come to the market in a timely fashion, so it's kind of off the table till May, June. So if you've got an issue in Argentine corn, I think you've got an issue with the United States and the corn market being tighter than maybe the market's expecting it to be in 20, 30, 45 days.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
I think that'll do it. Have a great weekend,
sir. You too. Thanks so much. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon.